going back to that level of introspection and that level of honesty that you need to have, when you asked me about a guarantee in the role-playing thing we did just a little bit ago, a guarantee about your results and all of this, well, my next response to you is going to be, I can't guarantee you anything. And welcome back, everybody, to the Be Successful podcast. This is going to be a great one here today. My guest, Jackson, I can't say enough good things about him, honestly. He's just an incredible human being. Even in the short amount of time I've known him and communicated with him, you just get that feeling, and I know you'll feel that way too. His specialty is all about service-based businesses. No matter if you're a small mom and pop or you're a big organization, if you're in the service space, this man can come in, analyze what you've got going on, and give you the guidance, the mentorship, and the systems in order to scale and grow to any size that you desire. And today, we're going to talk about something that every company needs, which is lead gen. Now, if you're a coach and you've been on Facebook, I know you've seen what we're going to talk about today, which is the unethical side of lead gen. So we're going to talk about how to do it wrong, and then we're going to talk about how to do it right. And again, Jackson, I am so happy that you're here today. Thank you so much for your time, and let's get into it.
Dude, absolutely, Brian. It's an honor to be here. Super grateful to be. I'm going to address something really funny. So about both of us. So you're like a brother to me already based on our last conversations and just how awesome you are. But we both have one of those last names that nobody knows how to pronounce. So I'm going to own that with you. So Brian, how do you say your last name first?
Okay. So my last name is pronounced Elam.
Elam. Okay. Yes. Awesome. So Elam. And mine's pronounced Callum or Calame. So just don't call me Kalame, please. The whole lame one is not my favorite, but yeah. So yeah. Callum or Calame, but Jackson. And then H is obviously part of my first name, but a lot of people ask me, like, do I call you H or no, you call me Jackson. It's cool. So right. Awesome, man. Well, I'm glad we're going into the unethical nature of lead gen. And I think it's fun that you're going to start on the wrong side of it. So let's do that. There's a lot of wrong stuff out there.
There is a lot of wrong stuff out there. And it's in my experience, at least from the coaching side, a lot of it comes from the absolute wrong way to run a VA and run scripts, and basically how you just dive right into the DMs and request a sale or a service or whatever. So what have you seen on your side of it? And how did you come up with this whole talk about the unethical side of lead gen?
Well, if you think that you need to skip this or skip ahead, don't. You're almost all doing it. That's the truth. We are almost all doing it. And it's just a constant process of refinement, right? Nobody's perfect. And so we all tend to do things that could be labeled unethical in nature if isolated into a box. And we have to be very careful to constantly be shifting our message, shifting our focus, aligning with morals and values as we go. But we know that based on kids, right? You got little kids, 3-4 years old, who learning how to speak, and they lie about taking that candy. They don't mean to. They're not evil because they do it, but they have to learn to correct that over time. And as adults, we still have to recognize that there's so many elements that we're not getting right. So when it comes to wrong, nobody's excluded from doing things wrong and unethically. The key is, are you staying there or are you willing to change once it's been pointed out?
Right, exactly. It's the whole thing about, what you do when nobody is watching versus what you do when everybody's watching, as far as like the way that you present yourself, how you interact with people, and how you conduct yourself in society. There's a big difference there between when you think nobody's looking and when you know everybody is. And it's those moments where you have to step back into your own conscience, your own ethics, and say, okay, if I do this, it doesn't really resonate with who I am and it doesn't make me feel good. So when it comes
Let's start though in the restaurant industry with something everybody can relate to. So you have a server and you've had a pretty decent experience, but the food was a little bit cold and the drinks weren't filled up super like on time. And you're not really impressed with their experience. And so you go to that server, you know, vulnerably sharing that, you know what, like this really wasn't the experience we wanted to have. And that server goes, ugh, and walks away, you know, and now you're like, what? Like, I just shared that. And that's why most people don't give the feedback. They go to Yelp instead to give the feedback, right? So a lot of times what happens is there's a tree, a decision-making tree. There's an authority tree in this process. And so, you know, a manager could say that it's that server's fault and it's isolated that server for doing that. How could they do that? But were they trained on how to handle the emotions of somebody giving them bad feedback? Were they hired in a process of checking resumes properly and interviewing people properly? Or did you skip certain processes in order to put somebody in a position to where they're not going to succeed because they don't have the training on how to be hospitable with the best of levels? Are they terrified to talk to their manager and ask for training to know how to deal with situations like that? The depth of where unethical behaviors, comes into play isn't it's not on the outskirts of your business. It starts at the top with how are we preparing our people for success and what types of virtues are we practicing so that our different teams, departments, and marketing, sales, operations, fulfillment are all performing for the best interest of that customer in mind.
Right. Right. So in essence, shit rolls downhill.
And nobody wants to own that. So like a lot of people are like, man, Jackson, like, I don't want to hear that. You know, like you're telling me this is my fault. I'm telling you to consider it.
Yeah. There's always that consideration to be had. You know, one of my favorite shows that I watch is Bar Rescue. And, you know, if you've ever seen that show, the main guy, John, he goes in there and what does he do? You know, he doesn't go right to a server when he first makes the introduction and goes through what's wrong. Where's the manager? Where's the owner? Let's talk. And figures out exactly what you just said. What's the hiring process like? Did you vet these people? Have you trained them properly? So yeah, there's a big
now
responsibility
to Legion on that, right? But, so Legion begins not with the marketing department. It begins with your hiring process. And we have to face the reality that you didn't go to school to learn how to do hiring. You know, you've learned that through the hard knocks of life, but you're probably still struggling with that process. And so how do you recognize a proper marketing team? How do you recognize somebody who's going to be ethical in their approaches? You're just skimming over that. And so what ends up happening is you end up having a marketing team that doesn't represent your values for who you are. And if you're not paying attention to it because marketing overwhelms you and blah, 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 grow up. There's too many pretenders in the market. We need to be contenders in the market. We're contenders by owning our shit, as you said, and making sure that we're constantly on the move to make it even better and more aligned with what we want to our business to reflect, not what it's actually reflecting often, unfortunately.
Yep. That's very true. That's very true. You've got to, and this is something that that Gary Vee says a lot, especially when you're in that startup phase, or maybe you're a solopreneur. When you're in that phase, you've got to know enough about every facet of your business in order to be dangerous. And then, as soon as you do, then you can start hiring out your weaknesses or hiring out what overwhelms you or you don't like marketing. But still, once you do that, you'll still know enough about it to know whether the people that you hired are performing as they should, or they're just feeding you a line of BS so they keep getting paid.
Right. And that's such a powerful example. I mean, I love Gary Vee. Everything that he puts out, you know, I tend to resonate with because he's so direct, you know, and like true about what his shortcomings are, what his weaknesses are, what his strengths are. I see a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, trying to hire people who fit the perfect bill of paper of like all of the little things that you'd think you'd want. And they don't want people that have weaknesses. But I'm a big fan of Effective Executive by Peter Drucker. And that book says that people with tremendous strengths always come with tremendous weaknesses. So if you want a tremendously strong team and tremendously strong results, you have to learn to be more humble and accepting of the shortcomings of others.
Mm. Absolutely. That's great. That is
awesome. How often do you hear it, Brian? Let's just role play this real fast. So you do lead gen. Tell me how many leads am I going to get by the end of this month?
How many leads are you going to get by the end of this month by working with me and my team?
Yeah, absolutely. I need to know that right now. I need a guarantee on that. And I need to, I don't want to pay. We want to do a rev share model too, right? This is like the constant conversation of how so many people approach marketing with these different threats and these different tactics of trying to twist marketers' arms, and I get it. There's a lot of marketing people out there that are taking advantage of business owners, but the business owners are grown adults. They have to learn to ask the right questions and tee the relationship up in a way where the marketer's safe, to be honest. And I'm not saying I'm a jerk. I'll tell you to your face if you're not being, polite, or if you're being rude, or even if you're leading the witness, if you gift me one of those questions in the interview process of, hey, you guys do that heat mapping stuff, right? What is every marketer on the world going to say?
Of course we do.
Yeah, of course we do, because they know we're going to lose. I won't. I will. And so I shouldn't say every marketer in the world. The ones who are more like Gary Vee and who want long-term relationships are going to say something like, you do realize you want me to say yes, right? And everybody you ask that question to moving forward, that's not looking out for your best interest, but that's looking out for quick buck, is going to tell you what you want to hear. Do you want to know why we're successful? Or do you want to pretend to know what we do and how it works, like you have been for the last 5 years and not winning?
Oh, dude, pretend to know what we do. Oh, I love that.
Well, that's don't awesome. Think the business owner who's a restaurant owner, he started that restaurant because he's great at food, or he loves taking care of people, right? The barber, loves, again, the craft of the art of what he's doing. The radio show host loves the radio and loves maybe playing with the technology, but speaking to people and hearing his voice and hearing people's reactions to, they're all passionate individuals, not all of them. All these vape store owners, what are they vaped? So now they open a vape store next to the vape store. That's not a business model. That's different. I'm talking about people who open businesses for the right reason, which isn't just about the money. It's about the legacy. Those people, they're not designed to know how to hire and run a business. They're not designed to know how marketing works. But like Gary Vaynerchuk said, like you brought up, they better learn enough to be dangerous so they can hire the right people, or they hopefully will get lucky or blessed and they'll find the right people in the process.
Exactly. And going back to that level of introspection and that level of honesty that you need to have, when you asked me about a guarantee in the role-playing thing we did just a little bit ago, a guarantee about your results and all of this, well, my next response to you is going to be, I can't guarantee you anything. Mm-mm. Because I'm not in control of you. I'm not in control of your team. All I can do is put my best effort forward in, guidance, mentorship, and systems. You're the one that has to execute. So the guarantee lies with you, not me.
Right. And I'll shift that a little bit. I'll take up a notch. I probably would have said the same thing, but as I thought through that and you saying that, I realized, well, it's also on us. I can't even guarantee me. Right. When the winter storm hit Texas and all of a sudden like power's out everywhere and you can't do things, or COVID struck and you've got COVID, or somebody on your team gets, I had a VA that was in charge of our fulfillment tech specialist. He got hit by a motorcycle. You can't predict that, And so that's certainly going to delay, a process. Can we communicate properly though? Yes. Can we be reasonable understanding of other human beings? Yes. And again, I avoid the pretenders, work with the contenders, because the contender is going to lead by example, right? They're going to know how to take care of people, how to care about an individual. It's a vicious cycle, and it doesn't matter who's wrong or right. And it doesn't matter who started the problem. What matters is how are you going to get the result? And if you want to get the result, then you as the leader of your company have to be willing to learn how to lead by example, ask fair questions, set fair expectations, have clear boundaries. And ultimately, maybe there's some therapy in there, that you need to uncover that. And I don't say that condescendingly. I say that as a lover and supporter of therapy and communication skills.
Absolutely. again, it all goes back to the leader, the, you know, you as that solopreneur, you as the leader of your organization, however large, you know, to have that level of really humility and the love of learning, to always be pushing yourself forward and growing, and to understand that you need that in order to be one of those competitors and not the pretenders, which I love that juxtaposition, by the way.
I owe my buddy Caesar for that, man. He's smart. He's a smart entrepreneur. Great friend. One of the most ethical business owners that I've worked with. And that was his coin. And claim to fame was pretenders versus contenders. And I was like, whoa, I got to use that all the time now. Cause you get tired of it. You know, we're at Video Power Marketing. We had 70,000 people per month coming to our website for one blog post. How do you make money on YouTube? That's great. You know, you got people in Sri Lanka looking that up. You got people who desperately need it. And of course you got get rich quickers coming in through that as well. You know, once in a while you got a business owner, but being able to sift through who we could actually make money with and help versus who we couldn't was a priority. And so I didn't have the term coined, but as soon as Caesar said it, years after going through that process of filtering through 70,000 people each month, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so true. You know, it's so hard to find the contenders unless you have a proper filtering system.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go back and let's say that, you know, you as the solopreneur, you as the business owner, you've gotten it right. You think you've gotten it right as far as hiring your marketing team, the person that's going to do your outreach, your lead generation for you, or you are going to do it yourself if you're that solopreneur. What are some things, some ethical things and ways to go about lead generation that you have started employed?
Absolutely. So that's the hardest thing about most business owners with this is they think that, and I shouldn't say the great business owners, but most people think that the principles are frou-frou, but the principles are everything. Right. And so you've got to respect the principles of virtues that resonate with your audience. And you got to know what those are. And I'm talking about emotional and logical intelligence that go hand in hand. And so if you don't understand those concepts and grasp those first, it really doesn't matter what tool you use. The tools are going to, you know, they're not meant to be the answer. Just like you can have a car garage with $200,000 worth of car repair equipment, but if you don't know how to use it, why does it matter? Facebook ads, that's a tool. Facebook organic, that's a tool. Your phone is a tool. You know, all of these automation systems are a tool. You are more likely to hurt your business by exposing it to the masses than you are to actually win by exposing it to the masses. You have to be very, very meticulous about how you prepare those things. Now, there's still progress over perfection. So let's dive into a few universal principles of that. If you hear marketers condescend about Facebook, well, one, right now people are pissed off about this whole like iPhone thing, you know, and the privacy issues with Facebook ads. But Facebook ads is still the dominant platform for advertising. And so when I hear these funnels of people talking about how Facebook's not going to work, or you got to try out this next new thing, like, be careful. They're just trying to sell you. They're getting you hyped up about the problems that you're in, because they know that you're failing on it, not because of the tool, because of whoever your agency is that you're currently working with, or you're trying to do it yourself and you haven't figured it out. They're just trying to prod your pains so that you will say, you're right, I do feel that, and that makes sense. So let me move forward with TikTok or Instagram or whatever it is. Is that mine?
It's not on my end.
Oh, my apologies on that. So... prospect on Facebook. Cool. Anyway, the process of recognizing not just the tools, but how to use the tools properly, they're built upon principles of marketing. So we'll use one example. It's really easy to YouTube. Google has this series called the Zero Moment of Truth. The Zero Moment of Truth can unlock the world of marketing for you in a matter of like 3 minutes. So before you say like, oh my gosh, I don't want to talk about this marketing stuff, it's way over my head. You got to know enough to be dangerous. You have to. So Zero Moment of Truth is the only new principle on the moment of truth that is a marketing principle that has existed for well over 60 years. So each one of those principles, I'll go through the three. I'll leave the zero as a surprise. But the first moment of truth was built around walking into a grocery store before the internet age existed, going to the cereal aisle or any product, but let's use cereal as the example. You look at the cereals and you decide to pick one. Whichever one you decided to pick based on presentation won the first moment of truth in that particular moment. Then you take that cereal box home and you're faced with a second moment of truth. You put that cereal in your mouth and you try it. The second moment of truth, you win as a company if they liked it, if they experienced the product or the service and they liked it. Then you have the third moment of truth you got to win. The third moment of truth, which will help you scale, is did they like it so much that they share it with others? Those principles are way more important than the tools themselves, because it doesn't matter. Your business is probably so small that you can't maximize your budget on Facebook and you can't max out your budget on YouTube. Heck, you probably can't even max out your budget with your local newspaper. And so if you don't have a budget to spend on, you know, 20 different platforms, and you don't have a budget to max out the most important channels, make sure you're not spreading yourself thin. Focus on the one or two channels that have enough of an audience to gain traction. And typically, Facebook ads and YouTube are the two areas where you need to be doing that, unless you have a local business where traditional marketing and traditional advertising can actually trump the online advertising world. And I know that's an ultra sin for digital marketers to say, but I'm not a digital marketer. I am into marketing. I help with operations, I help with fulfillment. Traditional and offline and online marketing, rather, like having a billboard or having a sign for your business or having one of those signs in the yard. You can take a chiropractor, great chiropractor I know, went to the local Walmart. He stuck a $2 sign, you know, one of those really crappy ones. It's just white. And he wrote with a Sharpie, lose 20 pounds in, you know, 4 weeks, put his phone number on it, crushed it. Walmart never touched it. Nobody ever pulled it out. Like, it just week after week had tons of phone calls coming in. It's not complicated. It's logical and it's emotional, but you get sucked into all these articles of the 7 best ways to do this or the 6 best ways to this, written by who? Some jerk making $9 an hour for Forbes.com. Or somebody wants to promote their recent book. You know, it's not how it works.
Yeah. Or he's an affiliate marketer for that particular product or service, you know?
Yes.
You never know.
And you're right. So like there's biasm, and to be biased doesn't mean that you're unethical either. It can mean you're swayed, but, you know, like if I use Bluehost hosting because I found it through John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneur on Fire's website, you know, he's not trying to convince me to buy that because he wants me to buy it. He's using it himself. You know, and so it's a resource, it's available. There's appropriate ways and inappropriate ways, again, to leverage your tools, to be an affiliate marketer, to be a business owner. And it all comes back to the principles and living a life based on principles, not living a life based on tactics.
I like that. Based on principles, not tactics. Love that. And something you alluded to, and I know that you know this is true because you spoke to it, but didn't really go into detail on it. So I just want to touch on that. Everything that we just talked about, everything that Jackson just said, when it comes to knowing how to use your tools, that is all stemmed from knowing who your ideal client is. Because you have to understand, what do they value? What do they want? What are their fears, frustrations, challenges? What are their pain points? Just like you talked about the whole shiny object syndrome of Facebook ads isn't working and those marketers are pushing on your pain points of your Facebook ads not working. So you'll jump over here to this next new thing, right? They know your pain points. You've got to know your ideal client's values, what they want, what they value. Do they value time? Do they value saving money? Do they value like an all-in-one type of solution? And then you can start implementing your messaging and using your tools. I think that's what you were getting at. You'd let me know if I got that right.
No, you're spot on. I love it. Way to pick it all up. You're picking up what I'm putting down. So are we.
Excellent. So let's go back, because this is the majority of my audience is at the beginning of their entrepreneurship journey. Solopreneur, small business, all this kind of stuff. Is there any level of, I guess you would say like an overarching theme or an overarching principle that they need to employ at that beginning stage of their business in order to be able to eventually grow and scale to the level they see in their minds when it comes to this whole topic of lead gen?
Super biased on this one, but definitely my foundation and the foundation that I live on and preach on regardless of, you know, my own shortcomings is love. That is the foundation of everything that I do. Relationships before revenues, you know, and the ability to understand not just how to accept love, but how to live a life of love and care about others. It may, again, very frou-frou, but that principle will drive you to do what is best for others. And when you're doing what is best for others and you learn how to perceive what's best for others, then naturally you learn how to listen and hear what others need. And by learning how to listen and hear what others need, you then begin to understand how to fulfill that need. And as you begin to understand how to fulfill that need, more and more people become attracted to you and want to work with you and use your services. And so naturally your business starts to scale. And you're going to have problems along the way, but if you can truly grasp the concept of loving, the verb to love, everybody wants to be loved, but to love somebody and to express love to somebody is hard work. I once read a therapy book when I was going through my divorce. I learned a lot of hard lessons about love. One of them was, if you don't feel exhausted at the end of your day from the efforts to love your wife, you failed. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. And I was like, whoa, okay. So here I am collecting love, you know, wanting to feel loved, you know, appreciating the value of love, but not gifting it the way that I needed to myself. I was doing all right, but I wasn't doing it the way that he talked about. And I realized that, you know what, if I learn to do that in my life for all those that I serve, then naturally I'm going to become much closer to what love is and the abundance that comes from living by that principle. You know, like I said, I can now see the reciprocation of that throughout my life.
That is super powerful, super powerful. And it speaks to me on multiple levels. So thank you. Thank you for giving everybody that and myself included. Thank you.
I do my best and we all fall short, right? And that's a big deal to recognize is that though I think the person that we often struggle to love the most is ourselves.
Oh, that's 100% true.
You gotta love yourself in this. Yeah. You gotta be forgiving of yourself. You gotta be patient with yourself. You gotta be willing to let go of past mistakes and move forward and turn a new leaf, you know, on a new day, regardless of what consequences you'll still have to face for whatever it is that you've been through in life. If you can learn, you can't properly learn how to forgive others and allow others to make mistakes and have mercy if you can't have mercy with yourself. So you've got to be willing to say, you know, the faster you can say, you know what, I love myself. I made a mistake. I'll learn from it. I'm moving forward and I'm going to be happy, you know, about whatever is going to come from this. You know, I work with Flow Research Collective as well, an ambassador for their company. And Flow Research Collective teaches you how to get into peak performance, perfect states of action, you know, really incredible stuff what they're teaching. They teach with Harvard, they teach with Google, they teach with, you know, the Defense Department. Stephen Kotler is one of the biggest names in that field of NLP. And I don't really get the science behind it. I don't need to, because I understand the principles behind it. And I see the results and how they're taking care of people. Well, one of the things that they have in their blog talked about self-love and waking up in the morning and giving yourself a hug. You know, literally waking up, trying to track and see if your first breath is an inhale or an exhale, and then just loving yourself, you know, and literally kissing yourself and saying, I love you, you know. And I was like, whoa, that's as frou-frou as it gets. Like, what an uncomfortable thing for people who can't relate to a deep sense of love and appreciation. But this is your invitation. Give yourself the chance to accept that, because it's one thing that nobody can force you to drink the water, but all you have to do is pick up the glass and try it. You know, you're not going to hurt yourself by trying to love yourself.
Wow. Yeah, that's very true. Very true. And it is, it's so hard because we can be our own worst critic so easily. It's so easy to go to the negative, you know, that's the way, just the way that our brains are hardwired is to go to that protectionist negative side. And, but yeah, to be able to give yourself the chance, just the chance to love yourself, to wake up in the morning, to give yourself that hug, like that is, that's amazing. That's a great principle, a great thing to try to implement into your life. And you can do it when nobody's watching.
Dude,
nobody has to know.
Because of it. I tried it. I was like, you know what, Troy, like I got to try this thing, you know, as you wrote it. And I was like, man, this is cool. It works. It definitely helps.
Yep. Well, I know what I'm going to try tomorrow when I first wake up.
There you go.
Oh man, this has been a great conversation. It's been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much. There's one other thing that I wanted to touch on. I wanted to make sure we didn't forget. It was actually something, a website that you had called my attention to when we first got together and connected. Can you tell, in the nature of lead gen, can you tell us a little bit more about Podbooker? Because I think a lot of people would be interested in this.
And I'm going to share this with a super sincere grain of salt. Be careful. This is such a powerful platform. And if you're not ready for it, you can destroy your reputation with it because it's such a powerful tool for connecting you to greatness. So that's, I can't stress that enough. You know, if you're not ready to get out there, you're the one who knows if you're ready or not, by the way, right? Have you ever seen The Greatest Showman? Like that guy knew exactly like what he was going to do and go, and it didn't matter about the training. I don't have a college degree. You know, I knew I needed to get into business. I got into business and I made things happen and I've had a lot of success with it and nobody was going to be able to derail me from that. So it's your inner compass that's going to help you know if you're ready for Podbooker or not. But Podbooker is not something I own. It's not my own. I'm not even affiliated with it. I am friends with the guy, loosely friends with the guy who launched it. So the background on that, Daniel Geffen has a phenomenal podcast called Can I Pick Your Brain? I think he has another one too, but I used to love to listen to that. And we became friends on Facebook and he put out this piece of material that wasn't the best piece of marketing material. There was quite a few unethical flaws in it. And I decided, you know what? I want to get his attention and I want to help him because he's done a lot for me with these different episodes. And so I destroyed it. And I ripped it to shreds, you know, and I knew that there was one of two things that was going to happen. He was going to be pissed off, you know, and have this inferiority complex about it and like condescend at me, or he was going to say, thank you. I was wrong. He sent me a video and he's like, Jackson, this is amazing. I'm so happy that you did this. Like, this is so incredible. I want to talk to you. I'm launching this really cool platform for podcasts and I want you to be my partner on it. And like, I was like, whoa, like I never even talked to this guy before. And so I wrote him back real quick. I was like, I'm blown away and honored. Like, let's talk. And so he calls me. It's probably like 1 or 2 in the morning in Israel where he's from. So he's telling me about this platform and I had my own businesses going on. I didn't have time really, but I was like, yeah, well, like maybe we can talk about it again sometime. And so we talked about the whole concept. I gave him a lot of value and what he could do and how it could work. And he obviously was building a lot of value. So like, yeah, man, run with this. This is amazing. And let's talk again. So fast forward like 4 years. And I've stayed on the fringes of my relationship with Daniel. I'll say happy birthday or whatever, like thank him for his post regarding his kids. He's one of the best dads too. Like you can just tell by this interaction of his kids with him, you know, it's like, wow, like that's dad goals. You know, I want to be like that when I grow up. I kind of stayed in touch loosely, but I went and checked out Podbooker and I did it just to help him out. It wasn't for me, just to kind of get right. Not just to help him out, to also see if I want to be involved, right? So there's the alter side of that where I know that I could potentially get him as a client if I wanted to. And so I go check it out and I build my little profile on it to be a guest on a podcast show. And I really think nothing of it. It's been about an hour and a half though. And I'm gathering notes like, wow, like he's really built this out well. So I go look at the podcasts on there. There's a number of podcasts. And I went ahead and just said, you know what? I'll pitch this host, you know, and it, you get a couple of pitches, you get 10 pitches for free. And so I ended up pitching one and I go to bed thinking nothing. Again, nothing ever comes from the internet, you know, like nothing immediately. I woke up and I had an interview for a podcast show. And I was like, whoa, like that worked fast. And I'm not on ESPN. I'm not on Forbes. I'm not anything like that. Like I'm just Jackson. You know, I've always been behind the scenes. And so I was really shocked that I had an interview. And then by the end of the day, I had two more people who reached out to me and requested to host me. And I was like, whoa, it's been 24 hours. I haven't paid any money for this tool. And three people who are connected to, you know, in the business world to millionaires, possibly billionaires that have audiences, maybe of size one, maybe size 20,000, 200,000. You never really know when it comes to guesting on a podcast show, but I know the power of connecting to people who want to build their legacies. I also know the power of connecting to people who can connect you to others. And by being nice, playing nice, being a good friend, helping people, you can win. So I was, all of a sudden, I was like, whoa, this thing is the best way to get a true expert message out there without paying anything. And if they have the right skills to monetize that, you can take somebody whose business was just crushed by COVID, who doesn't have an income coming in, who maybe was a successful doctor of health and healing, but went through a divorce or something, and they're on the bounce back. You can put them on Podbooker, they can get all sorts of interviews, and they can recover like that. All because that solution is available to anybody who wants to be an expert or claim that they're an expert in an area. And again, if you do that, trying to stick as close to ethical boundaries as you can, then all power to you, like more power to you, go on there, find people, get hosted.
Wow. And is this, so it's a dual-sided platform too, right? It's about like you as an expert being able to be booked, but also let's say you have a podcast, would you be able to like put your podcast profile on there too and be able to accept guests from that as well?
Brother, we need to get you on there. Absolutely. And so that would help your podcast get found as well for people who are looking to speak in your niche. So it's a dual-sided system where it's got both of those things. So it helps you find proper bookings and more people to potentially book. And then it helps the people who want to be booked and have something to share, put a profile together, attach their lead magnets, attach their history of shows that they've been on so that you can quickly pre-qualify and see that, okay, this is somebody that I want to work with.
Okay. Yeah. So again, everybody, this is why I wanted to bring this up, because this was a gold nugget from our first conversation that Jackson brought up. So I wanted to make sure that we spent just a little bit of time detailing it out for you. If that's something that you want to do involved in your lead gen and your growth as an expert, as a coach, consultant, or just in business in general, if podcasting is what you want to do, this is a great platform. But again, take the warning from this great man here. Be ready, because things will happen.
Yeah, they really can. And that's why literally in our lead funnel, on our main lead magnet, that is our invitational message is, you know, do you want a couple of free resources? And Podbooker is one of the first I give away. And I do that. I have no fear of doing that, because what would happen is if somebody goes on that platform and tries to win and asks a bunch of podcasters to be on their show, but they don't have the materials or the pitch necessary, they're not going to get booked. And they're going to get frustrated. They're either going to give up, or they're going to be smart. They're going to come back and say, hey, you mentioned this. How do I succeed with it? And then we can train them, pre-qualify them to potentially buy from us. Other people see it and they're like, oh my gosh, this is the value you have. And if they are, again, logical and have those wires running through their brain the way they need to, they'll say, Jackson, what else do you have? I mean, I'm glad you asked. And this is just the first. So there's so many things that we can do, but we didn't talk about the right side of lead gen very much. What are your thoughts on that, Brian?
Well, I mean, I've got a little bit of extra time here if we want to dive into it. And I think we do need to kind of circle back, because we've got on Podbooker for a little bit of time there. So yeah, let's talk about it. What is the right side of lead gen?
Yeah. So again, not even necessarily a plug. I don't really want to go into any materials today of mine. The right side of lead gen has a lot to do with optimization. And so this is the message that I wish more business owners understood about marketing in general. One, there's a lot of buzzwords out there that are half-truths, right? The do-it-yourself programs. You know, you need to know enough to be dangerous, and those can help you do that, but you're gonna need to delegate it eventually to the marketing guy or the marketing gal. No such thing. Marketing is not limited to one person. It is a department. And anybody who tells you otherwise is lying to you. And if they're trying to be the only marketing guy or marketing gal, again, inferiority complex, they're selfish, and they need to learn how to be a team player because they're not the god of the internet or the god of traditional marketing either. So it is a team effort, and it involves most of the company, not just, again, one small division. So then in addition to the marketing department, there's people often say overreaching or overgeneralizing things. I do it too. Or we say like Facebook ads is the bridge between you and your customer, right? And that's kind of true. Mm-hmm. And you know, Zoom is the bridge between you and your customer. It's a very easy analogy to grasp. And certainly it bridged us together, Brian, but Zoom did not make you a client of mine. It certainly made us have a relationship or helped us have that relationship. So does messaging, so does LinkedIn, so does a website, et cetera. But what those are, and get this in your heads as entrepreneurs, every single one of those system tools, every single one of those tactics or campaigns is a pillar or a component of the bridge. You can't take somebody across a pillar. You will have difficult campaigns. So I see people saying, Jackson, Facebook ads just doesn't work anymore, you know, or Facebook ads didn't work for me, or LinkedIn didn't work for me. Now here's the next secret. The most important acronym that you can memorize and learn about from the internet is probably CRO. And CRO stands for conversion rate optimization. And what that means and requires, let me sum up CRO for you. And what something that you think you are, but odds are you're failing at it, is loyalty. The problem with most business owners is they want fast results from marketers, and they don't give them enough space to fail along the way and fix what they need to fix in order to win. A bridge cannot be built overnight. It's going to be a process that requires a lot of patience, a lot of mercy on both sides, a lot of forgiveness in the process can exist too, and a lot of depth of execution. So if you haven't given somebody a budget to market for you, but you expect them to market, expect your results to take a lot longer to figure out. If you've given a huge budget, but you're not giving time for them to test and see what the market needs and wants, again, you're setting yourself up for failure. And you can go on to the next person, but try getting somebody to build half a bridge and then convincing another engineer to come in midway through that project and feel safe about taking it over on a stressed timeline. We need to learn to be loyal as a people. We need to learn to understand how to perceive value and how to respect people's value. And then we need to allow them to move forward with you on the process, building your dream out holistically and not constantly shifting gears, creating new pillars. Otherwise, you've got a funky looking ocean with a ton of pillars that are not connecting, and nobody knows why you're sitting on that island, because they don't understand the value you have over there. They're not going to get there. Conversion rate optimization is key.
Wow. That's so well said. It's like, it's almost like shiny object syndrome, but it's shiny marketer syndrome.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're guilty. I'm guilty. I got a lot of pillars. Don't get me wrong. I got plenty that don't connect, but I'm not judging them and saying it's the pillar's fault or it's the person who built the pillar's fault. No, they built a pillar of value and I was short-sighted, you know, in bringing them into the equation when I did or how I did. And someday I might even be able to connect it and use that. It's like a vehicle in a garage that has no engine. But you still got the frame for the Ferrari and the transmission, everything else. You got to finish the job.
Yep. So that's a couple principles there of how to do it right. And again, it still stems from the person at the top. You've got to have that patience, just like you said. You know, we talk of all the time in the business world, the entrepreneurship world, when you're just that solopreneur, of having patience with yourself, to be able to have that love and patience and understanding for yourself that you're gonna fail, you're gonna screw up. Like,
yes,
those projects, they're gonna fall through. You know, your business might not go the exact way that you thought, but you've got to give yourself that leniency to let it happen and learn from those mistakes and move forward. And your marketing team needs that too. So yeah, very, very well said.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. It's, you know, let's hope it's well received. At the end of the day, I hope it's well received and that people understand that the application in this is, you know, you can get a heart surgeon on a webinar and maybe somebody will try to promise that he'll teach you open heart surgery in an hour. But think about the reality of that. That's not the point of hearing a heart surgeon, you know, in for an hour on a podcast. You know, it's so that you can understand maybe the risks and concerns. You can understand whether you trust that person or not, you know, for them to, and maybe you can ask them for help in the process, or maybe they can be a mentor to you. But the reality is, if anybody's promising you instant results, it's just simply not likely to happen. And just because J.K. Rowling wrote a book on a napkin and became a billionaire doesn't mean that a course should be invented about how to do it that way. Unless she's doing it, then maybe take the course.
Yeah, right.
That's the exception, right? There's an exception to most rules. So,
yep. And that would be the one for business on a napkin. Yep.
Yeah. And I hear people like, well, you know, that I'm following this person who launched this course, you know, based on how somebody else built their business. Mm. What? Like that. So you don't even know, or I'm following this YouTube channel guy because he's doing, I know exactly what he, you don't know exactly what he's doing. You don't see what he does behind the scenes. You don't know who he talks to. You don't know who's endorsed him. You don't know what ads he's running. You have no idea. You only have a small portion, and you only have what he tells you. Same as you only have what I tell you, right? You can't take it at surface value. You have to learn how to judge people, you know, hopefully nicely based on their, you know, based on principles, not based on tactics, not based on tricks, not based on hype. And I think if you learn how to judge yourself appropriately and accept yourself and love yourself, that's one of the greatest keys that I can give you to figuring out how to then start to evaluate and respect and appreciate others in your life too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it gives you that introspection. It gives you the ability to see those certain characteristics, those certain values in other people to let you know, is this someone that you want to bring into your organization? Is this someone that can teach you how to scale, you know, your coaching or consulting business? You know, one of the truths that I absolutely believe when it comes to finding people on YouTube that eventually you want to be mentors is great operators are not necessarily great teachers.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Look at Michael Jordan. He's living proof of that. Love him. Great guy. Goat, right? Maybe LeBron, I don't want to get in the fight, but he's an owner of a basketball operation now. And how's his basketball team doing? You know, he's trying to do the different side of basketball, but he's not a coach. He's not a coach for a reason. That's not his skill set.
Yep.
So yeah, you're 100% right.
Exactly. And it can be just not that they're keeping it from you necessarily, not that they wouldn't share those things with you as far as the deeper levels of their operation. It could just be that the fact that they are just not built to be a teacher, or yeah, it could be the other way around, where they just want to give you the little teaser in order to get you in to their program. Right. You know, I can't tell you how many times I fell into that trap when searching for my path in this entrepreneurship world, this whole shiny object syndrome. There was probably 3 or 4 times I fell into that. And it was for that reason that I did not know that, again, great operators don't necessarily make great teachers.
Well, and you learn holistic truths though, too. And that's what I hope other people also get out of this is, even though I've made plenty of bad investments and done things that seemed like they weren't in my best interest, you know, I remember the first time I lost $2,000 on an internet purchase that was a fake wire scam transfer. I mean, I was a young kid, and that very same week, my sister and her husband lost $75,000 on an RV they purchased online.
Oh my God.
And I was like, whoa, I got lucky. I learned this lesson on a $2,000 mistake, not a $75,000 mistake like they did. And so when we make mistakes, it's important to also reflect and say, you know what? What did I learn out of this? What will I not do again? Is this going to help me, you know, avoid worse mistakes in the future if I allow it to? And what are the values that I also gained out of this experience? They're typically there, even if we don't want to look, they typically are. So it's important to recognize that we go through things for a reason, and we have the ability to adapt, evolve, and usually recover from those types of circumstances.
Absolutely. 100%. You've got to be able to have that introspection again, to be able to look back at your failures and realize that they're not failures. You know, life does not happen to you. Life happens for you. And when you can make that shift and make those connections, there's so many lessons and so much strength to be had from it. Just because you failed, it doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean that you're dumb or that you don't know anything. It just means that that plan didn't work out. So you just move forward with the next one that you think will, and you just keep growing and going.
And you know, again, you're speaking to the younger ones, the business owners who figured it out typically don't behave like this, but the business owners who haven't, if you find yourself approaching marketing, sales, or any other people skeptical and like trying to figure things out, you're typically driving away the best performers who could help you grow. And so leaders don't do that. Leaders don't hold that baggage and blame the rest of the world. Say, well, is your course any different than the other people's? You know, is your implementation going to be just as bad as so-and-so's? Like, I don't even want to work with him, you know, or her. Like that's like, you know, maybe it might be, but I know that this guy over here that I don't really like he's actually helping. So you should go work with them. I'll send those people to my competitors, you know, but you know, we've got to grow up. We'll talk very directly with people like that and let them know, like, you know, you're not really inspiring me to want to help you grow your business right now. And you can't keep, we're approaching conversations like that. You also can't walk up to people and just like, I'm always skeptical of people who are like, Jackson, I want to work with you right now. I want to do it now. No. And I'm like, yeah, this person's going to back out as fast as they committed in because they're not following a holistic process. So when you walk up to somebody or you jump on a Zoom call or you take that cold marketing call that happened to come in, stop yelling at people and just say, hello. Hi, this is Jackson. How can I help you? That's how I answer my phone every time. Start being that leader that starts making that positive influence in the world. You'll start attracting the right people to work with you. But yeah, I'm gonna give you a gift, Brian, a gift for everybody. I've got a free resource on the 10 questions you should be asking in your hiring process when you're hiring an agency. And they're not everything. It's not going to change your life and make you a 7-figure earner overnight, nothing like that. But if you can grasp the concept of why these questions need to be asked and listen for the right things and tie it to a concept called don't lead the witness, meaning don't ask questions that give them the answer you want. Just ask holistically. You know, some of those questions are, like, you know, do you provide monthly or weekly reports? So I shouldn't even ask that. I need to change this one. You know, what types of reporting do you provide? And they give you some like thin answer, you know, or a quick answer because I know you don't want to hear about the details. Ask about the details. Tell me more about that. Dive in as deep as you can. And if they're not giving that willingly on the front end, what else are they willing to hide or not discuss? Be aware. It's an emotional intelligence game when it comes to bringing in the right team. And that's a whole topic for another day, but I want to give as much as I can. So thank you for letting me go over a little bit. Just keep giving value. And I appreciate the value you've also contributed in this. I've learned something as well.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely appreciate all of your time, all of your wisdom. And of course, you know, we'll post up that link to those 10 questions in the description. So you'll be able to go and get those and stay connected with Jackson as well. So again, thank you, my man. I appreciate everything you've done here for us today, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Absolutely. We'll see you later, Brian. Take care, everybody.
Take care.